And good afternoon, Coleman. It's 3 minutes after 4 o'clock on a Thursday. That means it's time for Sports Talk Live. 83 degrees outside, and Jason and Ronnie have quite a bit to talk about. In the meantime, keeping an eye on the weather, it is raining around us, so if you happen to be driving through some rain, how about slowing down a little bit? That's your public service announcement for me today. How's it going, Jason and Ronnie?
Good, man, good.
Good, Jay, how are you?
Doing good, doing good.
Hey, talking about rain, I had a hard shower at my place just about 15 minutes ago.
That's good.
A rain or you got a shower?
I got a little of both, right?
Good point. I got a little rain, about 15 minutes, enough to make it run down the ditch, so... glad to get a little shower rain, I'm
after
sure.
After we've all dug up our gardens.
That's
and
right.
Tore
That's
everything
it.
Out.
Yeah, it's like a dust bowl. So
my garden didn't do a bit of good this year.
And you know, most people that I've talked to, it's funny you say that, everybody that I've talked to complained and said their garden was terrible, and they just dug, you know, then stuff didn't come up, and they just dug it
I
up.
I didn't have anything come up this year.
I know why. You didn't plant that. Or what
now,
you
remember the
or
garden,
what you,
you remember
what,
the garden trick that you pulled on me that time. We ended up raising about... Yeah. Six tomato plants and probably four squash. And I think that was about it. And I think that ended up costing me about $300.
So. But the food, it's delicious.
You know. Both of them was.
Both
tomatoes.
But you eat them real slow. Eat them real slow so you can savor them, you know. So, but
we're laughing today in a good mood.
That's right.
Both.
Everybody's
teams
happy.
Got a win. UAB got a big win.
That's right. Auburn came through with a big W there over Washington.
And let me say this, being in the bleeding blue and orange.
Yeah, you're even dressed for it today.
Oh, yeah, I wore my Auburn shirt, got my Auburn underwear on and everything.
I knew you squirming around
yeah.
That cheap stuff.
I have to say, Ronnie, this is one of the only times in my memory that Auburn has played a top 10 ranked team to open the season and actually come out with a win.
Yeah, I think I saw something about that on TV or
going
some
back,
kind of stat.
Even back
never,
to Bo Jackson's
yeah,
days
it just
when
didn't
they
happen.
Played Texas. Oh, if it rained, you're going to lose that first game.
Yeah. So is that a sign that you know they're going to be in the playoff?
No, that's just a sign that we were better than Washington on one day.
Oh, man, hey, it was a good football game. It ended up being very competitive. I know we text back and forth during the game. And
got too interesting for me.
Oh, my goodness. When it got, first quarter, you know, Auburn is just completely, in my mind, they're just absolutely dominating the game. To me, it was pretty obvious their talent was far superior. They were bigger, stronger, quicker, more physical. And for, you know, the first 10 minutes or so of the first quarter, I thought, gosh, this is going to get ugly, and then...
And it did.
But not the kind of ugly that I was speaking of. But, yeah, the game did get kind of ugly. You know, Washington maybe got their feet up under them and figured out maybe we can play a little bit with Auburn. And, you know, it was a competitive game, you know, honestly. And, Jason, I think you would agree with me because, you know, you are very honest about Auburn. You're not blinded because you wear the blue and orange. You know, with a break here or there, and give Auburn credit. You know, Washington's driving, and Auburn gets a big, huge turnover there. They sack the quarterback, knock it out of his hand, recover the football.
Yeah,
I mean, Auburn won by five, and I think they're the better football team. But with, you know, a play going this way or that way, it could have been, you know, it could have been Washington ended up winning the football game.
Yeah.
But
and I don't know, Ronnie, you are a – unbiased fan, I guess you would say, when it comes to Auburn and something like this. But can you explain Gus's thinking? And we're going to ask Chris this maybe later on. He might can explain it. Other than he has seen Oregon do this in the past, why go for two on the first score of the game?
Do you think?
I think he says that old thing, if they line up a certain way.
Yeah,
and
if you count the numbers and all that kind of stuff. But
he needs to count again.
Yeah, I agree. It's right off the bat. It's the first game. It's the first quarter. It's maybe the first possession. But 7 looks better than 6.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's sure going to look a lot better if you get beat 1. I mean, you're going to have a million questions to answer there. Maybe that wasn't called by Gus. Maybe that was a miscall or a misread by the snapper or whomever. But, you know, I guess Gus probably takes the responsibility for it. But either way – it took one off the board. And as usual, Auburn's got a kid that can kick.
Oh, yeah.
Why would you?
Yeah.
You know,
well, he may have a stronger leg than his brother.
Yeah,
didn't he kick a 53 yarder?
You know, he missed one, but that was closer, certainly long enough. But
every kickoff went out of the end zone.
Yeah, absolutely. So Auburn, you know, they've hit a gold mine there with kickers.
Oh, speaking of gold mines,
yeah.
What about the Alabama quarterback situation?
Oh my goodness, well, you know. And
there is no controversy.
Is no controversy, and if we all want to be honest about it, and if Saban were to be honest about it, and everybody else at the University of Alabama, there never was a quarterback controversy. The only controversy, Jason, was who's the backup going to be? Going to be Jalen, or is it going to be Jones? In my mind, that was the only controversy, or that was the only decision that had to be made, is who's the backup?
Yeah, and my next question to you is: Jalen at the University of Alabama to open next year's season?
No,
I don't think so either.
No,
you know as well as I do. He's not going to play quarterback in the NFL. He can hang that up.
No. Look, there are, and Chris could speak a lot better to that, and he'll be joining us here
in the next minute or two
ASAP. So there are a total of 32 NFL football teams. If every football team has a starter and a backup, I believe that makes 64.
I believe that'd be it.
That'd be the math.
32 times 2.
That's exactly right. And in Division I football, I think just D1, there is 160-some-odd teams. Your chances of being an NFL quarterback are almost zero.
Right. About like winning a lottery.
Absolutely. So I'm not talking about Jalen Hurts. I think is a great kid, a really good teammate, a good person. All of those things, and got a haircut, and all those things are extremely important. And that's what you want your kids to be like. But I'm sorry, he's not going to be an NFL quarterback.
No,
I mean there's been some just recently. There've been some great quarterbacks cut. You know, and traded. You know, AJ McCarron was at with the Bills. I thought he was going to be the starter, and then all of a sudden, poof!
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's traded from Buffalo all the way to Oakland.
Speaking of starters,
yeah,
Chris, our main man from Vegas, is with us. Chris, how are you doing out in the big town of Vegas?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're all smiles today.
We are fantastic, Chris. Both of us are happy this week.
Yeah, two big wins last week. I don't blame you.
That's exactly right. Two big wins.
Hey, look at this weekend, though. We're just short of breath already looking at these games this weekend.
not a whole lot there.
Friends on Facebook trying to sell their tickets, and they can't even sell their tickets.
Yeah, they can't. Maybe have a hard time giving them away.
No, you can't give them away.
That's right.
Hey, Chris, let's jump right on it if you want to and get some new blood in here. Week one's under our belt now. Most of the games, I think, turned out pretty much as we expected. Now, with that said, can you think of anything or any team or teams that did surprise you, whether it be good or bad, somebody a lot better than you thought, or somebody maybe not near as good as you thought?
Well, I had a couple, yeah. You know, if you look at BYU, who I thought was just going to be absolutely horrible this year, went into Arizona and won. That was a surprise to me. UCLA, who I thought, I didn't know what to think of. You know, Chip Kelly coming in, and we had a lot of success as a college coach. And I didn't think that much of Cincinnati. But Cincinnati wound up being way better than I thought, and UCLA wound up being way worse than I thought. Those were a couple ones. But other than that, there weren't too many surprises. You know, I'll take my Penn State team. And that game pretty intently.
Oh, goodness.
And App State, App State that second half, particularly the fourth quarter, just ran right through them. So, I mean, they better make some pretty good defensive adjustments. They got Pitt this week, and the game's huge for everybody in Pennsylvania, and at Pittsburgh, just figures to be a tough game, but they better get their act together pretty quick, or else or else they're going to wind up losing a pit.
Oh, yeah, it's going to get real in a hurry, and I'm afraid the same thing for all of them the week after this. But, hey, I want to ask you a question right to start out with about Auburn before I turn it over to run in the Crimson Tide.
Roll Tide.
But if you had the opportunity to see the game, give me your thoughts on both teams and maybe give a report card grade on how you think each team stacked up being the first game, really the big game of the weekend. So.
Well, let me go to Alabama first. You know, I didn't get a chance to watch that closely, and that's one bad part about my job. I get to see bits and pieces of a lot of games, but you know, very few do I get to watch as closely as I'd like. But I thought Bama looked very good, you know, starting out, and you know, they just had their way early on, and you know, it was one of those things where I didn't really have to pay attention too closely after that. But I talked to my one friend who's like a really good football guy, and he thinks this is one of the best Alabama teams he's seen under Nick Saban. He thinks they are really, really good. Maybe his words are maybe the best team Saban has thrown out there. Now, I'm not quite ready to go that far. But, you know, they do have a very dynamic quarterback. And, you know, Saban's had good quarterbacks throughout the years. There's no doubt about it. And gotten very good play out of them. But this kid looks awfully good. And like I said, my one buddy thinks that he might be the best quarterback Saban's had starting for Alabama. Right. So, I mean, that's something you really have to look at. So I have to tell you, that opinion is... his opinion is something I really respect. Even though I didn't get a chance to see that game as much as I'd like to have, I have to respect that.
You didn't
miss
a whole lot, Chris. After the coin toss, it was pretty much over with.
Sorry, Jason. Now, the Auburn game, I watched that one as much as I could. You know, it was a really, really big game for us. Two-way action, so it wasn't like a big loss or a big win either way, but I just, you know, I always liked the Washington program. I told you I got a kid in Seattle, you know, so I watched him. I liked Chris Peterson just all my years in Reno.
Right.
I just saw him at Boise, so I just have a lot of respect for him. I'm not sure he did such a great job coaching, in the second half, which is usually what I think. I said he makes some great in-game adjustments. I thought in the first quarter, I thought he really did a good job keeping his team in the game, because I think Auburn could have blown him out early. It was one of those that I thought Auburn really dominated early on. But, you know, Peterson kept them in the game. You know, the team handled it fairly well, I thought, hanging in there. But I thought the game got pretty sloppy. You know, there was a lot of missed field goals, and it was one of those, I think, probably, thank you, I think both teams will improve quite a bit as the season goes on, as I think the defenses were really good. The offenses, like, showed some signs of being good, but, you know, couldn't quite put it together. The other thing I wanted to mention, though, I looked at the box score afterwards, because I thought the Auburn defensive line really dominated the Washington line, and I know they're real good left tackle, I forget his name, missed the game, the kid for Washington. But I was looking, they had, like, quarterback pressures by Auburn, zero. I'm thinking, was I watching a different game?
Wow.
It looked like they were in this kid's face the whole time. You know, I thought that was really probably the biggest key to the game, is Auburn's defensive line. I thought really the kid was under pressure the whole game. They didn't have much of a running game going for Washington. So, I mean, I know there's some pretty good defensive lines, particularly throughout the South. But, you know, Auburn's got to be right there. If they stay healthy, I mean, I don't know if they're as good as Clemson's, because I know Clemson's really good. But other than that, you know, I thought they looked pretty darn good. And they're going to give a lot of teams trouble, you know, because we could talk about quarterbacks and all that other stuff, but football still starts in the trenches. And right now it looks like Auburn's, particularly on defense, look like they got a pretty good thing going there.
I like the way you're singing there, Chris.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, let me throw one at you right here.
Sure.
With Washington losing, and I think we may have touched on this last week, or maybe it's just me and Jason, I don't remember. But, you know, week one of the season, if Washington is able to run the table, do they still make the playoff, or does that loss keep them out?
You know, I hope it doesn't keep them out. You know, not just, I'm speaking as a West Coaster.
Sure.
But I think it's terribly unfair. If you look back a couple years back, I guess about 3-4 years, and Stanford lost the opening game to like a pretty mediocre Northwestern team, you know. But they went to Northwestern, and they're a Division I team, and I think Northwestern is one of the two. People don't realize, pretty good program. They've won 10 games, like 3 of the last 6 years, so pretty good program. But Stanford went in there and lost, and it cost them a chance at the playoffs. And I don't think that should be the case, you know, because you can get a team like, well, like Washington. I mean, they could have played Portland State or something like that, and you know, the year Stanford played, they could have played like UC Davis,
right.
You know, and you know, those, that's kind of typical. That kind of stuff happens, but I don't think that should be held against a team like Washington if they were to run the table. That's a pretty big if,
right?
Because I think I'm not sure how good Stanford is. You know, I know they're going to have to beat Stanford. Stanford's very fundamentally sound, as you would expect. So that's going to take some beating. I think Oregon looks pretty good. You know, Southern Cal, if they beat them in the championship game. So if they win all those games, I think they certainly deserve a lot of consideration. But, of course, we have to see what Oklahoma does. We have to see what Notre Dame does. I think they're in the mix all of a sudden.
Absolutely. And I was going to throw another one at you from out, you know, the outfield is, give me your opinion on Notre Dame.
Well, you know, if you look at that game, they really dominated early and took Michigan completely out of their game. And after that, I think they really were very effective running the ball, milking a lot of clock, and not so much that they were great, but they did what you have to do to win football games. And that really is what it comes down to. And I thought Notre Dame would be kind of that way. They really want to run. I mean, I know we've got a lot of stuff going on with football with, you know, read option and pass and all that other stuff. But Notre Dame still wants to run the football. And if that's what they can and have to do to win football games, I think they're going to do it. I think that's going to be a really tough out because they are, I think, very fundamentally sound. I don't think they're a great, great team, but I think, you know, just one of those teams that's going to do what they have to do to win football games. So that's going to be a tough out the rest of the way, no matter who they're playing.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Chris, let's move back into the world of Alabama football. First, I got a two-part question here. First part is, were you at all surprised that Tua started the game, and then after the bits and pieces that you got to see or maybe the stats that you got to look at, what kind of grade would you give him in his first collegiate start?
Well, I was not surprised that he started. I think that he demonstrated, you know, and I've spoken very highly of Jalen Hurts. I think he's a really good kid and all that. But I just think as far as talent in today's football game, I know Saban wants to run the football too. I get that. But he still has the ability. He would like to have the ability to throw the football if and when he has to. And I think Tua gives him that opportunity much better than Jalen Hurts does. As far as a grade, boy, tough to give him much lower than an A, you know.
Yeah, 5 possessions, really, 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah. Maybe you could dicker here and there and give him an A-minus about something, you know, but, I mean, really hard to give him any less than an A, I think, certainly from what I saw. I mean, I thought the kid really looked good, and like I said, my one friend who was talking to me about Bama, I mean, that was one thing that he just thought created a lot of separation from some of the past Bama teams is how good Tua was.
Right, and I agree, you know, with what you said a little bit earlier. I believe, without any doubt, and I think Jason will agree with this, that this is the best offensive football team Saban has ever had at Alabama. I don't know if it's going to be his best defensive team.
Sure looks like it.
But
I mean,
offensively,
one game in, but we'll see.
Yeah, one game in. Yeah. That's exactly right. But it looks like this could potentially be the best offensive team. He's loaded. You know, he's got a great quarterback. His offensive line's experienced. He's got 5 kids in the backfield that, you know, the fifth guy that plays, the Robinson kid, he could start at a lot of SEC schools, and their receiver core is loaded. So I agree with you. I think it potentially is the best team, you know, that he's ever had.
Well, you start with that quarterback, and then you also have that offensive line. That, you know, I mean, it just dictates so much that, you know, what's the defense going to do? They're going to load up against a run. Well, he's going to kill you on the outside. You try to cover all those receivers. You know, Nick will love running the ball right down your
right.
throat. You know, so, I mean, I think, boy, it's going to take some beating on this Alabama team. And I can tell you right now, we're a 2-1 on them to win the national championship, and we still do pretty good because I've had them low the whole time. But I've seen guys have them even lower, you know, so they've impressed a lot of people here this last week.
Yep, I agree. I think I saw something, and Jason, I had this in my notes, we'll talk about it later, that Bama jumped up ahead of Clemson in the percentage to make the playoff. I think it's like 65% or something to make the playoff. None of that stuff matters.
Well, they should. You know. The only game they got is Auburn.
Oh, okay.
Well, they do play LSU. We'll see about LSU.
LSU, so. Ole Miss.
Mississippi looked a lot better than I thought.
They certainly did.
They wound up with a lot of money on them at the end, so some people knew how good Mississippi was, and they looked pretty good. I mean, they beat a team that's never been very good defensively, but they beat them up pretty good.
Right. Let me ask you one of my other questions, Chris. Is this the fact or the Bama game? Would we say that Alabama is just that much better than a, quote, maybe a good Louisville football team, or is this a good Alabama team playing a really bad Louisville team?
Well, I thought Louisville would be pretty mediocre this year. I was not very high on them. I thought it would be the kind of team. You know, Nick Saban, he's certainly had a lot of success in that opening game. You know, he's got his team ready. You know, as good as any coach out there. You know, so I wasn't surprised that they blasted him. But I'm not sure, you know, how much you take out of that as far as, like, judging against the opponent. And I think Bama was really impressive and all that. But, I mean, they're going to have some much tougher games along the way. I didn't think much of Louisville, and
right.
they sure didn't show me much in this game.
Right. Yeah. I got one more point, and then I'll turn it over to Jason. You know, when all the talk was, you know, well, who's going to be the starter and all this kind of stuff, and Kirk Herbstreit, you know, made the statement that, well, if Tua's a quarterback, you know, they're basically going to average 45, 50 points a game. That's tongue-in-cheek. I mean, I just can't believe that's going to happen. But it's certainly obvious that he gives them a much better chance to be successful offensively. And I don't mean that as throwing off on Jalen. He's 26-2, won a national title, got beat at the end of the game. But the truth is, in any profession, there's somebody out there who's better than you or I, and it's just reared its head for Jalen.
Yeah, I think the thing about Jalen, too, if he were to be a starter, I think Saban would be looking at the running game as being the entire key, whereas now with Tua in there, it's much more balanced. He has that ability to balance the attack and I hate to say anything's impossible to stop. Nothing's impossible
sure.
to stop. But, boy, it's going to be pretty hard to stop. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, Chris, we've shined up Alabama and Auburn both, so now let's get down in the dirt a little bit. I know it's a big topic here, probably the same thing out on the West Coast. But the first thing I want to ask you is about Nick Saban's response to the reporter's question at the end of the game about the quarterback kind of blew up on her. Your thoughts on that, and then after you answer that, I've got maybe a couple of questions about Gus and some of his play calling.
Well, I thought Nick was totally out of line. I mean, the girl's doing her job. I mean, he has to know. And I know he's answered it like 20 times, probably 200 times in the last week or couple weeks. But, you know, the girl still has to do her job, you know, and he was just, I think, way out of line. Listen, he's an intimidating guy. You know, she's a young girl. I mean, young woman. Nick. You know, he can intimidate the big, strong defensive lineman. What do you think he's going to do to this young lady? You know, so I think he played that much too hard. And I understand he called her and apologized, which I think showed some class on his part because he really did need to apologize because she was not out of line. I don't think at all.
No, to me, you know, if he wants to stop that question, just name a starting quarterback. I mean, who has ever heard of a college team having co-starters? It's not Pee Wee football anymore. All right, let's move on to Gus. Gus, $7 million a year richer, but seems to be the same thought process. And I've got two brain busters, or for me, they're brain busters here, Chris. What leads to Gus's thinking, or was it Gus's thinking, to go for two on the first score of the game? And that one point almost come back to bite Auburn and possibly even cost him the game.
Yeah, you know, as soon as he did that, I was thinking, boy, I'm not so sure about this, because I really thought I thought this was going to be a really tight game the whole way. I'm not sure I thought it would be quite so low scoring. But I did think that, you know, both teams were going to have a little bit of trouble putting points on the board. I wasn't crazy about the move, even from the start.
Yeah.
And maybe Gus, you know, maybe just underestimated how good Washington's defense was, because their defense really did keep them in the game quite a bit. So I don't think that was the smartest move. I really don't. I think if you're playing Mississippi or, you know, a team like that where you know it's going to, good chance it's going to turn into a shootout, and you want to go for that too early, I don't have a beef with that. But this one I didn't think was a very smart move.
Right. I think there's 100,000 Auburn fans that agree with you. again, a $7 million, but things with Gus seems to not change. So he's still having a problem once he gets in the red zone, punching the ball in for six. Seemed to be kicking field goals again, and at least we do have a good kicker. But if Gus Malzahn called you tonight, Chris, and said, Chris, I'm having trouble in the red zone, what can I do? What word of advice would you have for him, or is there anything you can think of?
Oh, man. I would give – I know that's been an issue with Auburn, but I also think it happened to be he was facing a team, and I said before I thought that Chris Peterson makes really terrific defensive adjustments. So I think he was up against it a little bit in this last week. So I wouldn't hold that too much against him. But I don't know. I thought, you know, overall, even though they put a lot of points on the board, I thought Stidham looked pretty good. I don't know. I think I'd say, you know, maybe you just got to rely on your quarterback a little bit more. But you know, that's probably not that educated of a guess on my part. I think that he ran into a pretty tough defensive coach that had a lot of the angles covered.
Okay.
Chris, if I could jump in here with Jason, I was sitting here thinking about that question myself, and I absolutely agree with what you said. I'm sitting here thinking, who is, from the offensive side of the ball, who is by far the best player on the football field? It is Jared Stidham. So put the ball in Jared Stidham's hands and let him make a play. I'm not talking about necessarily running it, because that's not his strength, but he can effectively throw the football, and that's where I agree with you. Put the ball in Stidham's hands. Yeah, have you got to be able to run the football? Sure. But defenses, you know, they play you much different once you get down there in, you know, inside the 20. You know, they put more people in the box. It's much more difficult to move the football inside the red zone than it is between, you know, 20 to 20. So,
absolutely.
And Auburn has, you know, they've got an entire new offensive line. They don't have any proven backs. Jaron Stidham's my bell cow, and that's who I'm going to, you know, put it on. If he's got to throw it, you know, five plays, six plays in a row, so be it. That's just my opinion.
We may have to wear his arm out this
year. I think I would agree with that, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, let's jump in to this week and go ahead and give us, you don't have to give us the winner right now, but just give us your top three games this coming weekend.
Boy, it's not really that great of a schedule.
No, it's not. It's going to be a sleeper.
I'm glad the NFL's starting this week, because that's really taken a lot of, we've done a lot of business on the NFL. It's unbelievable. Jeez.
What are the odds of Nike losing another $4 billion if they make a brilliant move?
I was going to ask you that too, Chris.
I don't know. Sometimes, you know, these big corporations, they think their own way. You know, I don't know. I got a couple games though that I really like this week. I told you my surprise team. I know Jason laughed at me pretty good last week, but Buffalo. I like Buffalo to beat Temple this week. That's a, you know, not exactly what I would call a marquee game. I don't think anybody knows they're playing.
Chris, you don't have to give us your top betting games. Just give us your top games you want to watch.
Top game. Well, there's no doubt the top game I want to watch is Penn State and Pitt. I think that's going to be a top game, definitely. Now, the South Carolina game, where is that at? I think we're at 10. Yeah, Georgia's a 10-point favorite over South Carolina. I mean, that's one. Those two are probably the two that, to me, are the ones that are going to pique the most interest because, listen, I think South Carolina's pretty good this year. I'm not sure they could beat Georgia, but it's an awful big game for them. But I think Georgia's certainly going to be, in the mix at the end of the year for a possible playoff spot. Another one that I think really has kind of flown under the radar a little bit is Mississippi State and Kansas State.
Right.
And I think Miss State is really good this year. And Kansas State, you always kind of look at them and wonder, how are they going to win this game? Or how are they going to have a good season? And then, at the end of the year, Snyder has them with 8-9 wins, something like that. They go into a bowl game and oftentimes win. What was the other one I was just looking at? Oh, yeah, Iowa State. I think that's a pretty good game. I had to go to Iowa on business this year. And I was on the Iowa State campus, and they're like super confident in this team, and I can see why. That Campbell has done a hell of a job
coaching
them. Really, I thought did one of the best jobs in the country last year. But Iowa's pretty tough, and Iowa State got that one game against South Dakota State. I think they played like about 15 snaps or something like that, and then the game got canceled. That really would have helped them to prepare for this game. And, of course, Iowa had a game against Northern Illinois, which they kind of exploded in the second half. So I like Iowa in that game, but I think that's going to be a real good one. I kind of want to watch that one, too. Those are games I have on my list that I really want to watch as much as I can.
Okay, good deal.
All right, Chris, let me ask you this. We've talked about a little bit about this week's games, and for the most part, they're not all that entertaining, I guess, maybe just for a handful, maybe. But let's look at next week, and I think for here in the state of Alabama, that's where we're looking at, and that's where the kind of the rubber's going to meet the road, and we're going to find out how good four football teams are. Two of those being Auburn and LSU. They play on the Plains, and then Alabama. Some couple of questions here. Number one, is there current lines yet out for this game, and how do you see those games shaking out in the end?
Yeah, we do have numbers on both those games. And by the way, this is the last week. We take down the games of the year after this week. It's just kind of too much for me to follow. But right now I got Auburn, a 10.5-point favorite over LSU.
Wow.
A little bit of money on LSU in that game. That does seem kind of high. Which again, for a game that could easily be very defensive oriented. And then Bama and Mississippi, I got Bama 21, but I got plenty of money on both sides on this game. I think, especially after this last week, I think people were thinking Mississippi, that could be a little bit of an underrated team. I don't know if they could win the division or the conference or anything like that, but I think Mississippi might, I think a lot of people thought Mississippi was going to be down this year, but evidently some people knew that they weren't because we had a lot of money on Mississippi last week. And there's some guys taking some pretty decent shots against Alabama with obviously a big price and, the game's in Mississippi. And, this is, I think we're going to find out a lot about both teams right there because, Bama, naturally, I mean, we all know what Bama is. I don't think we quite know what Mississippi is. But if they show up against Alabama here and put some points on the board, I think Mississippi might be a team to be reckoned with a lot more than people expected throughout the rest of the season.
Hey, Chris, is there a money line bet on the Alabama-Ole Miss game?
No, probably you're probably looking to take about I'm going to guess about $8 or something like that on Mississippi.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, something that kind of interests me with the Alabama-Ole Miss game is I'm interested in seeing how Tua's going to play. He played in the national championship game, certainly, and, that was about a 50-50 crowd, I guess, or 60-40 Georgia. Then, certainly – you know, the game this past week, I would say probably more people from Alabama. But now he's going to get into conference play on the road. I think that's going to be a little different world that he hasn't seen before. So I'm very interested in seeing how he handles that situation on the road.
Well, I have Mississippi with one of my highest home field advantages. I got them 4.5 points for home field. So that's a tough place to go in and play. And I think you're right. You know, I mean, it's one thing to go and play on a neutral field and do really well. But it's a pretty hostile environment in Mississippi. And like I said, if Mississippi can score, and now all of a sudden Tua has to match scores,
right?
You know, it could be a little different. I think it's going to be a real interesting game. Like I said, I think we know what we have in Bama. We don't know what we have in Mississippi. And if they're better than advertised, that could be a little bit of trouble,
yep.
No doubt about it.
I agree. Hey, Chris, let's roll out. We're going to have you roll out your crystal ball, make a few predictions for us, you know, on the games, on this weekend's games. The first one there, and you mentioned a minute ago, Georgia's a 10-point favorite at South Carolina. How do you see this one?
Well, I think it's going to be a tough game, but I think, gun to my head, I still think I would have to take Georgia in this one. I hate laying the big points on the road, you know,
right.
Especially in conference like this. But right now, I think South Carolina is going to be a little bit improved, but I think Georgia is really tough. I think it's one of the best teams in the country, and I think, like I said, at the end of the year, I think they'll be right in the mix for a college football playoff berth. You know, 10 points, kind of a lot. I think South Carolina, especially defensively, I think it's going to be pretty good. But I think I have to go with Georgia. This would not be a game that I would be betting if I were out there betting. It'd scare me a little bit. But, you know, like I said, gun to my head, I'd take Georgia.
I got you. Okay, then we've got Kentucky's going to be at Florida. Florida's about a 13.5 or so point favorite. What about that one?
Well, I think I like Kentucky in this one. You know, I keep waiting for Kentucky to get a lot better, and every year I read about, you know, how well they recruited and
absolutely.
How things are looking up for Kentucky, and I'm still waiting to see that come totally to fruition, and I haven't really seen it yet. But, you know, I do think there's a lot of points. Let me check the total on this game. Total's 51. Which is, you know, anymore, that's kind of a low-scoring college game.
Right.
So I think that will be, you know, kind of a close game, not a whole lot of points. I mean, I could see Florida winning, like, you know, 27-20, something like that. I think it will be kind of a low-scoring game. And like I said, I think Kentucky does have a little bit of talent. And, you know, I think Florida's, you know, probably on the right track with Mullen. But, you know, these first-year coaches sometimes – you know, just gets overplayed how good they are.
Yeah.
And not that he won't be good eventually, but I'm not sure they're that good year one and game two and all that. So I think I would take a shot with Kentucky in this one.
Great. Okay, moving out west, how about USC who's +6 at Stanford?
Well, you know, I think right now if you look at Stanford, very fundamentally sound, like I said. But, boy, you know, David Shaw, I think he does a good job overall as coach, but boy, I hate his play calling. It's just way too conservative. And I think that's really kind of held Stanford back a couple of times when they've had, you know, some
right.
pretty good offensive skill players. Now, that being said, I talked about my one buddy who's a pretty good college football guy. Well, I got another couple guys that I talked to, and I mean, they do not like Helton. At all, the USC coach. And I made it a point, and I think I've talked about him on your show,
yes.
Where I think he's gotten better and better as a coach. And these guys told me, he said, he might have gotten better, but he still ain't very good. And this is about as good as he's going to get. So I think this is a tough game. I think the number's a little bit high. I would probably take Southern Cal just because I think they have enough talent to keep it close. And like I said, I think, you know, Shaw, if he gets a lead, he's really going to try to sit on it. If he could walk out of there with a 3-point win, I think he'd be happy as could be.
Right.
And that's just kind of been his pattern. So I think I would take Southern Cal. But, again, I'd be awful careful. I'm not sure this would be one of the games. Kentucky's a team that I would probably bet on. But Southern Cal, I'm not sure I'd bet on them in this spot. But I think they probably keep it close. But Stanford probably going to walk away with the win.
Okay. Last one of these, Clemson -12 at Texas A&M.
You know, awful hard for me to go against Clemson.
Absolutely.
And I know Jimbo Fisher, I think, probably going to be a pretty good coach down there. I think, you know, you should really recruit well. You're in the heart of Texas. You got a lot of players coming out of Texas, and here you got these kids that can stay home and play against an SEC schedule every year. Well, I know if I was a real good player out of Texas, that's a school I'd definitely be looking at. But that being said, I don't know about year one, game two. I forget who they played last week, some cupcake. You know, but I think, you know, right now, I don't think they have enough to stay with Clemson. I talked about the defensive line of Auburn. Everybody I'm talking to says Clemson has the best defensive line in the country. I think that's probably
right.
Pretty close, although I think Ohio State is right there, too.
Right.
But I think, you know, it's just going to be awful tough. And, you know, if they score early, Clemson, and can kind of take the crowd out of the game a little bit, I think they have their way. Again, I hate laying those kind of points on the road, but right now, I think Clemson is really, really good. One of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, you know, I've heard a lot, you know, listening to people talk, whether it be on radio or, you know, the television as well, talking about Clemson's D line, their defensive front. So they anticipate every one of them going in the first round next year of the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So
I've heard that too.
Yeah, that'll
that's
make you a lot
darn good.
That's right. That'll make you a lot better coach too. So
yeah, sure will.
But okay, my last question I've got, Chris. We're putting you on the spot here. We're telling you you're going to have to bet your house on one particular game. So give us that game that you'd bet your house on.
Well, I can't afford another divorce, so I better win this bet. I'll tell you that.
I hear you.
I'm going to go with Cincinnati against Miami, Ohio. I was very, like, I didn't get to watch nearly as much as I could, but that kid, Luke Fick from Ohio State.
That's right.
I think he's going to do a real good job at Cincinnati, and he's already, I think, made a couple of strides on that team. And I think, you know, they're only a pick'em or a 1-point dog against Miami, Ohio. I think Cincinnati is absolutely the right side. So, you know, to save me from another divorce, I'm gonna go with Cincinnati in this.
All right, we don't want that to happen. So, best of luck.
No,
on that.
No.
that gets expensive quick, don't it, Chris?
Yeah, sure. I love talking to you guys, like I said, so it always goes quick every week.
That's right, absolutely.
Yeah, looking forward to next week again, guys.
I've got about three crazy questions I'm going to throw you and Ronnie.
Okay.
See who's got it on today now. All right, first question. I've already asked Ronnie this. I know his. I'm going to throw this one at you. If Nick Saban and Donald Trump are sitting in a room and Nick Saban says it is nighttime, and Donald Trump says it is daytime, are both of those still right?
Well, Lindsey Graham would probably say yes. I would go with Nick. I don't think there's any question about Nick being senile or anything like that. So I'm going to go with Nick on that.
All right.
Good choice.
Chris, we'll let you start it off. The longest field goal ever attempted in professional football was, not made now,
attempted.
Ever attempted.
Okay.
Was it 74, 76, or 77 yards?
Jeez, are you kidding me?
Longest attempt.
Oh, my God.
The longest made field goal was 64 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to say 74.
All right, Ronnie.
74, 70-something, 77.
74, 76, and 77.
Oh, heck, 77.
And you're both wrong. It was 76.
Dang. Oh, we got middle. God dang it.
Do you know who it was? Would you happen to know?
Let's see. No,
Janikowski?
No idea.
Does it say?
I don't know. We'll know that one for next week.
All right, the first professional football player was paid blank to play in one game, and it was in 1892. Was he paid $300? $500 or $600. Ronnie, you're first. And his name was, if this helps you any.
It'll put me over the top for sure. I'm going to say $300.
All right, Chris.
Hey, I'm going to go with Ronnie. I'm going to say $300.
And you're both wrong again. He was paid $500 in 1892.
Gosh, that's a...
Who is it, Jason?
William Pudge Heffelfinger.
Heffelfinger.
Yep,
Heffelfinger. Oh, Pudge Heffelfinger.
Yep.
I know the name, yeah. Okay, all right.
That's impressive in itself, yeah, Chris, that you know the name of the first football player, NFL football player.
Holy cow.
Wow.
We got to go into sudden death here.
Sudden death, then we got to get.
The new rules also cut time of the game by 10 minutes. No, I'll just give that away. Never mind.
Yeah, here you go. That makes it simple.
Let me find here. I'll give this one to you last year, so y'all should get this one.
Oh, okay.
Kickers got more respect in the early days. Originally, touchdowns were worth 4 points, while field goals were worth how many? Four? Five or six? Ronnie.
Mine or Chris?
You're first.
I think it's five.
Not Chris.
Well, I hate to agree with Ronnie again, but I got to agree with Ronnie. It looks like we're going to go into double sudden death. We're going five.
Five is correct.
Oh.
So
pressure is.
We're going into double.
My gosh. The pressure just mounting even.
Here's
you can cut it.
The first televised professional football game took place in 1939. It wasn't a huge spectacle that pro football has become now. The first broadcast only appeared on approximately how many TV sets? Was it 500, 1,000, or 1,500? Chris, you're first.
I'm going to go with 1,500.
Ronnie?
I'm going with the least. I'm going, was it 500? Wasn't that the first? I'm going 500.
500 is correct.
Hey, hey!
Oh, God
damn
right.
Sweet!
So, Ronnie has to buy the steaks.
You go.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we'll ship them to you, Chris.
Chris, we know you got another show to catch. So,
absolutely.
Man, we've held you too long, but we really appreciate your time and you joining us each week.
Well, my pleasure, guys. And if anybody's of a mind too, yeah, you're right. I'm going to be on VSIN in about 10 minutes. So
fantastic.
Tune in. Me and Uncle Brent will talk a little bit. And then,
then
I got to go back to work. We got a big game tonight.
Oh, yeah. Make it easy for us, Chris. VSIN is what channel on XM?
204XM.
204.
We will let people know that all along.
All right, thanks,
you
Chris.
Can see my pretty face.
There
you
don't
you have go. To just hear my voice. There you go.
Thanks, Chris.
Have a great one, Chris.
Okay, see you guys next week.
See
bye-bye.
All right, Chris Andrews from Las Vegas, Nevada, telling it
like
he sees
it.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live 95.5.
The first
Coleman.
NFL player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Coleman Appliance Repair is your locally owned and operated appliance and repair company. Servicing most models and brands, they can be found on Facebook or Google for in-home appliance repair needs. Proudly supporting Coleman area athletics and collegiate football, when that appliance frustrates you and you're in need of a repairman, Robert Brantley is ready to help. You can call him at 256-507-3415 or find him on Facebook, Google, or online at ColemanApplianceRepair.com.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
This is Dylan Deemer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, review of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Coleman County, as well as interviews. And tune in to hear the announcement of our Game of the Week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Coleman's Live 95. We are Coleman's independent radio.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Governor Kay Ivey releasing a statement concerning Tropical Storm Gordon, thanking all state first responders and emergency managers for their efforts. She says, in part, the preparation, coordination, and cooperation by citizens during the storm greatly minimized the impact across our state. Coastal counties dealing with some flooding today and minor damage. A man pleads not guilty to a triple murder in Gunnersville. Jimmy Spencer, accused of killing a woman, her great-grandson, and another woman in July. He claims reason of mental disease in his not guilty plea. Carjacking's on the rise recently in several Alabama major cities. Security expert Deshaun Johnson says locking your car keeps you safe.
Most carjackings you see are done for someone sitting in their car, the door was unlocked, or someone gets out of their car, runs into a convenience store for a moment, come out, and their car is gone. You try to prevent those scenarios from happening just by locking your door.
He says putting a hidden tracking device in your car will help to find it if it's stolen. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Someone's throwing rocks from the Quinton Road overpass on Interstate 22 West. It happened Monday night. A person of interest named in the case, according to law enforcement. At least two cars hit with the falling rocks, but no injuries reported. However, there's a lot of damage to those vehicles. A burglary in a home in Millbrook. The homeowner says his English setter was stabbed by the burglar when the animal chased him as he got away. The dog needed stitches, but will be okay. The burglar got away with $10 and a pistol. Candidates for governor in our state releasing how much their campaign earned in the month of August. Kay Ivey got $495,000 from supporters. The Democrat on the ticket, Tuscaloosa Mayor Walt Maddox, reportedly receiving $338,000 from supporters last month. Similar numbers were reported by both candidates in July. The Quilts of Valor offering special quilts to two deserving World War II veterans this week in Huntsville, Warren Schmidt and Mac McCullough. Mary Harris helped make the quilts.
Oh, they're very special. It's an honor to be able to make one of these quilts.
I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Time starts now. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat? Where can you find the answers to these questions?
Car crashes are one of the leading killers of U.S. children. Many of those deaths could be prevented by making sure that kids are in the right seat for their age and size. Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. That's safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
In money news, the Center for Disease Control has advice when it comes to eating Kellogg's Honey Smack cereal. Don't do it. 30 more people have been sickened from eating the cereal since a recall was announced June 14th. Salmonella is the concern. Total number of cases related to illness, 130 in 36 states, and that includes two here in Alabama. Residents of Montgomery will be paying a little more out of pocket after the city council approved its new budget for 2019. The $254 million budget plans includes a 3 cent per gallon increase for gasoline and $3 fee increase for garbage service. Council members say additional charges will help raise more money to pay for street repairs and to account for additional costs needed to pay for sanitation and public safety. In Opelika, a couple's proposing connecting points of interest across the city. Rocky and Sheely Langley presenting their idea dubbed the Creek Line to the city council. It would create paths beside the city streams to connect parks, schools, hospitals, and green space. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Providing Coleman with a unique blend of music. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP Coleman.
4:57 jamming here.
It's almost 5 o'clock somewhere.
It is 5 o'clock somewhere.
You're right.
Well, I don't guess it is. But we can say that.
We're claiming it's close enough.
All right, Ray, take us to the local yokels.
Hey, local, you know, our games last week. Of course, everybody, you know, by now probably knows who won our local high school games. But
do they know how we done?
But that's the most important thing, you know, is how we
it
did.
Don't matter. It doesn't matter if the team's won or lost.
No, it's just how we did it in our sick minds and in our competition. So I think I hear the phone ringing. That may be Jeffrey calling to lick his wounds with Florida State. However, Jason, quickly, I'm going to do the scores. We were both 5-2 in high school football. I missed the West Point ARAB game. Jason missed the Vinemont Fauntville game, and we both missed the Coleman Mortimer Jordan game, which puts us at our high school picks of 5-2. For the first week, I think that ain't bad. 5-2, we'll take that.
That'll make you money in Vegas.
That's exactly right.
Unfortunately, they don't bet on high school
they
football.
They don't bet on high school football,
Vegas.
But
they're not at least Coleman County games in
that's
Vegas.
Right, that's right. So we were 5-2 after the first week, and we'll keep up with that total as it goes, and the winner gets steak dinner at the end of the season.
All right, here is a man, as you said,
in
right,
morning. He's in mourning,
licking his wounds.
Oh,
he has
gosh.
A lot to lick, Jeffrey.
Dude, I'm not in mourning. I'm embarrassed.
Oh, you're.
It was bad.
It was bad.
It was ugly. It was ugly. You know what? I did realize something Monday night, though. I did not realize how bad Jimbo Fisher left the offensive line.
You know, Jeffrey.
In terrible shape.
Yeah. When I was watching the football game, I remembered you making the comment about Jimbo quitting, Jimbo not recruiting, and. I was in shock as to how bad they performed.
That offensive line was a swinging gate, guys.
Yeah, it was terrible.
That's as weak a Florida State teams I've seen in a long time.
You don't really want to open with somebody like Virginia Tech, but
right.
I mean, you know, that offensive line was garbage. For lack of a better word.
Yeah, exactly. And the sad part about it, you know, Willie Taggart, he's trying to bring, you know, I saw Bobby Bowden down on the sidelines, and a lot of the, you know, maybe former players were there. Man, you know.
That's a big stage. Look that ugly, wasn't it?
I know what Bobby's thinking.
Hey, Jesse,
what in the world am I doing? What am I doing here?
What's your thoughts on Taggart now after one game?
Well, the thing about it is, y'all have to Google it. It's in front of me, and by no means am I comparing the two guys. Okay, so don't even have people commenting that. Don't even people calling and saying that, and don't even y'all say it. Look at Nick Saban's first game at Michigan State. He got blew out, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Like I said, I'm not comparing the two. I'm not.
I'm glad.
My opinion on Willie Taggart on one game.
I agree. He deserves a lot more time than that.
He deserves two, anyway.
I mean,
if he don't improve in this game, he may not get a third one.
when he took over the program last December, it was 62nd in recruiting.
Yeah,
and he ended up with a top 12 class. And like I said, the offensive line has been terrible since the year after they won the national championship game.
Jeffrey, I would think just the name Florida State would get them higher than 62. I mean, Jimbo must have really tried not to recruit to come in 62nd.
There were certain recruits that said that they'd never even heard from Jimbo or anybody on coaching staff 2 weeks after the Alabama game.
Wow.
Jaden Willoughby. He's he was a 5-star safety, I believe. He's either 4 or 5-star safety out of California, and he was a lock to Ohio State. And somebody said something about, why don't you go to Florida State? And he says, because I haven't been offered to go to Florida State. And within 2 hours, Willie Taggart offered him, and he's actually enrolled down there now. He enrolled in January. And I mean, that just goes to show you that one of the top safeties in the nation hadn't even been talked to by him.
I didn't even have words watching the game. As a matter of fact, I got so bored with it that, you know, I just flipped around and, like everybody else, trying to find something to watch. I mean, I don't mean this in a way towards you, but it was awful.
Let's not forget the bright side to that night.
You're right. Jason has a good point right here, Jeffrey.
Is that a different game if Florida State is not hosed out of 14 points? the touchdown? He was never down. The blocked punt.
Yeah, I would say yeah, because the defense played well enough in the second half to win that game. I think other than the big line, I read somewhere some stat guy or something. I read somewhere that other than the big touchdown that they gave up, which they were just flat wore out when they gave that up. I mean that was not of if it happens, when it's going to happen, because they were on the field tired so long.
Yeah.
But for the whole second half, Virginia Tech, other than that one big long touchdown, was averaging 2.7 yards per play. And anytime you can keep a team under 3 yards per offensive play, you've done something as a defense.
I agree.
Yep.
14.
So
14 points is a lot. I mean, that's a lot of points. Yeah. And 14 points make a lot of difference in a whole lot of football games.
And the block punt would have given Florida State a first down. And who knows? They might have went down
and
scored.
Right. And all that's true. It just wasn't. I just wasn't impressed at all. I just even in lieu of maybe getting hosed for 14 points. It just didn't look like Florida State. I mean. Guess it's just
Well, I'll give him a year or two to get his offensive line better.
I agree.
Because, like I said, I've been harping on offensive line. I mean, 2 years ago, DeAndre Francois got beat to death back there. I mean, he was taking 4 or 5 hard hits every game.
Yeah.
And so the offensive line's not that good. And anybody that knows anything about football knows you just can't.
Yeah.
I think Francois has learned his lesson because he seems to give it up before he gets hit.
He could take a hit better now than he could. I think during the offseason he put on like 16 pounds of muscle.
Yeah.
If y'all didn't notice, comparing him to the Alabama game last year, he was like a beast compared to what he was then. But he gets a lot rid of it a lot quicker now.
Yeah.
But y'all know as well as anybody, I don't care how good the coach is, if you don't have talent there on the offensive line, you're going to be hurting.
I agree. I mean, it's all, and that's simply what it comes down to, in the college football and for NFL, it's you draft and, try to get the best players. There's great coaches everywhere. I don't care if you are at the smallest D1 school or you're at a SEC school or if you're at Florida State, every one of those guys can coach football. There's not a one of them coaching football that's not a football coach. It's just simply who can get the best players, and that's normally who's going to win every week. It's just who's got the best players.
Exactly, and they've got a couple of the 2019 class, a good offensive linemen that's supposed to be coming in. But like I said, it's still going to take time. I mean, it's not something snap your fingers overnight and it happens.
Yeah.
And I was very discouraged by how the offense played. I was very impressed by how the defense played.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, Jeff, let me ask you a question. You probably know the answer to this. You hear it and you talk. I mean, we hear things about, this school, they've got the best facilities in the world. Some people say Alabama's got the best. Some say Texas A&M's about to have the best. Where does Florida State rank in just their facilities in general?
Everything I've ever seen by anybody that the guys that's supposed to be knowing what they do, that ranks facilities, has always had Florida State in the top 10.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Around the 6 or 7 mark is most where everybody has them. They're obviously nowhere near the Alabama facilities. They're nowhere near the Oregon facilities. They're nowhere near the Texas A&M facilities. We know that.
Yeah.
But, the thing about it is they also don't have the money that Alabama has. They don't have the money that Texas A&M has.
Right.
They don't have the money that Texas has. They don't have the money that Oregon has. So they have to do things a little bit different. This $60 million, they just announced, I don't know if y'all heard about it, but during the Miami game Sunday night, they announced and released plans for their $60 million football-only facility, which is one of the things that Jimbo Fisher was wanting.
Mm-hmm.
And he was told about this facility and shown the plans of this facility before he ever announced that he was going to Texas A&M. And he didn't like the fact that it was going to be 2021 before it was done.
Oh.
Well, so, I mean,
you don't throw those up overnight.
It's not like going to Walmart and buying a pup tent.
Exactly. I mean, it's going to be 112,000 square feet. It's going to have they're going to be moving because the weight room they use now is shared by every athletic facility out there.
Florida
State has, and it's nice. It's really nice, but it's they're moving it to their own weight room, their own dining hall, their hydrotherapy pools. their own new locker rooms, all that stuff, and then they're going to redo the old one for all the other athletics to use.
I see.
How important do y'all think that is? How important do y'all think that is, facilities? I mean, if I'm a kid, I'm looking at two things. I'm looking at who's going to put me in the NFL if I'm that good.
Yeah.
And who's winning. Because you don't want to be stuck on a bad team.
But go ahead, Jeffrey.
That was the thing. That was the thing back in the day. But now everybody's got to be flashy. You know, everybody. And I will give Nick Saban credit. I don't know how he does it. How he gets 5-star recruits to want to sit in line behind another 5-star recruit for 2 or 3 years before they even touch the field. I have no idea how he does that.
I'll give you a hint. It's color's green.
And he's talking about what they're going to make when they get to the NFL.
Yeah, that's it. That's about. All I was talking about.
Is that what he's talking about?
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
It's what they're going to make.
That's exactly right. It's what they're going to make in the future.
Not only do I think Nick Saban in Alabama does that, Auburn does that, Tennessee, Texas A&M.
Everybody does it. To what extent? It's who gets caught.
Yeah,
I've always said that. It's not this team does it or that team does it. They all do it. It's just to what extent.
Yeah. But, you know, the question that Jason just asked about how important, you know, they think that the elaborate facilities are, I think they're extremely important because in the world that these kids grew up in today and with social media like it is, they're so visually stimulated, you know,
most men are.
Well, that's true. That's true. Till I think it's extremely important the type of facilities that you have because things Jason mentioned was they want to know a couple things, getting them to the NFL, and I forgot what the other one
was. To be on a winning team.
Be on a winning team.
Alabama.
Those elaborate facilities and those best facilities, they cover those two points that Jason just mentioned. So I think facilities are extremely important.
Well, Jason can say everything he wants, but Auburn just opened their own football facility down there this summer.
No, I'm not saying it's not important, Jeffrey. I'm just wondering how important y'all think that is because I really don't know. Well, honestly, don't know.
10 years ago, I didn't think it was that important.
That's right.
2018, I think it's pretty important. I mean, because you look. Bobby Bowden didn't win a championship with all them facilities. Gene Stallings didn't win a championship with all them facilities. You know,
Bear Bryant didn't.
Bear Bryant didn't. Yeah. And, Larry Coker at Miami, he didn't win it with all them facilities.
Right.
So it really wasn't that important a few years ago. But now it's a big deal.
Well, everything's about me. Jeffrey recruiting. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They live in a society where they get put on national TV to pick a hat laying on the table.
Absolutely. You took the words out of my mouth. When, 10 years ago, would we have a kid signs his letter of intent at school, he faxes it in, and it's over. Now they're on ESPN doing it, which is it's just absurd to me. So it's all, you know, it's just the world of all about me.
And the thing about it is, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you didn't hear about some kid that was supposed to be the best thing ever that played out in Texas, or you didn't hear about the kid that's supposed to be some great thing that's up in Massachusetts or somewhere like that. You barely heard anything about people that played in your own state.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You barely knew anything about anybody that played down at Montgomery or down at you know somewhere like that.
I agree.
Now you can pull up any recruiting site and you're looking at kids all over the country that you've never even seen. And Huddle, which is a great thing, by the way, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But Huddle allows you to go on there and watch any recruiting highlight tape you want to watch of any kid in America as long as he plays on a high school football team.
I agree.
Because almost every high school in America uses Huddle now.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, Jeffrey, I want to ask you, and then I know you probably got things to do, and I think we'll have to go to a break in a few minutes anyway, but I want to ask you, and I know you're not an Alabama fan, those kind of things, but I know you can be objective. In your opinion, my opinion is this probably is the best football team Nick Saban's had at Alabama. Would you agree, potentially, I guess I should include that word, that's the case?
I think your exact words is the best offensive team.
That's
true. Because I don't think this is his best defensive team.
I agree. They haven't proven it yet, I mean, by any means.
I believe, and I said this on the Facebook live feed, but Jay may not have read it out. I believe it's his best offensive team of his whole college coaching career.
I wouldn't argue that.
It's amazing how much difference one player makes.
Absolutely. Let me go a step further. Could this kid, the Tua kid who's only played a game and a half, if he stays healthy and does the things that he needs to do to be successful, could he be the best all-time quarterback at Alabama? I will say this, and I firmly believe this, he is the best quarterback they've had since Richard Todd. That's the last true NFL quarterback Alabama's had.
It's hard to say, and the reason I say that is because I don't think he's going to show his full potential of a full game, because I don't think Alabama has the competition they've had in years past in their schedule. I think he's going to go in there like he did the other day and get three or four touchdowns, and they're going to set him. And he's going to end up setting the second half or something like that. You know what I'm saying? I think they're going to build a big enough lead, and they're going to not want to hurt him, and they're going to set him down.
I'm with you. I agree with that. On the flip side of that, this kid doesn't have much experience. I don't know how much I'd be taking him out. I mean, I hate to say that, but he needs to play.
Yeah, and he's going to make some mistakes. I mean, get ready, because he's going to throw the ball. He's not going to do like Jalen and run out of bounds to the right.
No.
He's going to force some balls. I've said this
for 2 years, and some people agree with me, and some people think I'm crazy. If it hadn't been for the fact that Lane Kiffin took the FAU job, you never would have seen Jalen Tua last year. Lane Kiffin made Jalen Hurts better than what he actually is.
I don't doubt that. Whether you like Kiffin, whether you don't like him, he is a offensive master.
Yeah, and he works great with quarterbacks. He made Jalen what he was on Jalen's freshman year.
I agree.
And Jeffrey, don't forget now. Don't forget there's 10 other players on that offense that also made Jalen pretty good.
Well, that's true, too. But Kiffin, if you remember, Jalen used to turn to the sidelines, and Kiffin told Jalen what to do. How much of that do you remember last year with whoever their offensive coordinator was last year?
I agree.
I don't think they had the quarterback mind that Kiffin had. If that makes sense.
Kiffin will appear at a theater near you sometime. I mean, he's gonna land a big job if he'll learn to keep like Donald Trump, keep his mouth closed.
That's right. That's it.
Because who knows? He may end up somewhere like Tennessee again.
Yeah. Ooh.
Or back at USC.
The perfect fit.
Hey, he may be into that. Hey, he may end up at Texas if they keep getting beat 2 years in a row by Maryland.
Oh, is that the truth?
Write this down. The perfect fit for him is Florida Gators.
Florida Gators.
You put Kiffin at the University of Florida, and 3 years,
give him
their national championship hunt. Yep.
Hey, he can't go to Florida. The girls
are
too ugly down there.
Oh, you cruel, boy. You cruel.
All right, really, Jeffrey, we gotta kill some rats. So,
I'm just kidding about that Florida comment.
Yeah.
Hey, don't bother me. I ain't got no kinfolk in Florida.
I got kinfolk as a Gator fan. I hate for them here.
I hear you.
All right, big guy. Thanks for calling. You too. All right, Sports Talk Live. We're going to come back, talk a little more about our picks from last week. And in about 14 minutes, Rex, the main man, Chambers, be fishing with us.
That's right.
Stay with us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman.
Gateway Mortgage is proud to support Colman County High School football. After all, supporting your community and giving back is what it's all about. Gateway Mortgage is a big lender with the ability to service your loan, but they're all about community and personal service. Josh Phillips, branch manager, says because of their Christian values, you can expect a culture that's different from banks and even other lenders. Those are the kind of characteristics you want from a personal mortgage team working to get you into a new home or your next home. You can reach Josh Phillips, Cameron Kimbrough, or Zeb Smith at Gateway Mortgage, 256-690-5617. 256-690-5617. Gateway Mortgage. NMLS number 338177. Equal housing lender.
Odin's Auto Glass offers professional and reliable service. With over 30 years of experience, Odin's Auto Glass guarantees your satisfaction. From auto and truck glass to the glass in your big rig, Odin's Auto Glass has you covered. Odin's Auto Glass welcomes insurance claims and is an authorized Safe Life Auto Glass installer. Odin's Auto Glass is located on Highway 31 in Coleman, just north of Highway 157. 734-2800, it's Odin's Auto Glass.
This is Dylan Deamer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, preview of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Coleman County, as well as interviews. And tune in to hear the announcement of our game of the week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Coleman's Live 95. We are Coleman's independent radio.
Happy Homes Real Estate is proud to sponsor Friday Night Live on Live 95. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you today. After all, they're the top producing agency in Coleman. And I bet if you ride around town this weekend, you'll see open house signs all over Coleman for Happy Homes Real Estate. For property management, buying, or selling a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you. Happy Homes Real Estate, where they believe every home should be a happy home.
Name that
team. Man, that song. Just play that song. We'll just sit here and listen to that, Jeff.
And then you got to figure out if they wrote it about Auburn fans or Alabama fans.
Yeah.
or Florida State fans.
That's right. There we are.
It sounds like you singing.
Ain't nothing wrong. Oh, yeah. Sound just like
I
that.
I thought you did.
Here we go. I want to hear this one part.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. Right here it is.
Right here is what you want to hear.
Dead or alive, baby. Dead or alive. All right. Let's kill some rats.
All right. Hey, Jason, before Jeffrey calls, hey, and by the way, our number is 737-9505. If you want to give us a call here, you got about 10 minutes.
Yeah, let me make one announcement before you get into that.
Okay.
If you are watching Facebook Live, and just put a yes or a no, if you would, on there. If you plan to watch the NFL game tonight between the Atlanta Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles, keep in mind Nike's decision to make Mr. Kaepernick their face of the year or face of Nike or something. And have you heard the commercial?
I saw just the part where he said something and I turned it.
Yeah, be good at something and stand up for what you believe or something like that.
Yeah.
So, in other words, Nike is saying, I'm not going to say what Nike are saying, but it's
right.
Two letters and ends with a U.
Yeah.
To 60-70% of the American population, the president, and
so
buy your Nike shoes.
Yeah, and my question, I had a question. No, how much did you say after they decided that Kaepernick was going to be their bell cow for, you know, their main person that they're focusing on?
Their market cap dropped $4 or $5 billion
$4 to $5 billion drop.
And if I'm a shareholder of Nike,
I'm not really happy about that, regardless of how I stand politically. Right. Politically, on the decisions that Kaepernick has, you know, decided to make.
You know, even if they agree with him, why not just shut up?
What did they pay him?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure that they're going to make him an American hero.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll look for his...
A lot more than he probably made playing football. Certainly more than he's going to make in the future playing football.
They want to carve him out in the mountains with the president.
Mount Rushmore. He's going to be on Mount Rushmore.
Cut curly hair.
Oh, yeah. They'll need another mountain for that. All right, Jason, again, last week's football games, we went 5-2 in the college games last week that we picked, and I think there was four of them. We both took Auburn to beat Washington. That happened. We both took Alabama to beat Louisville. You know, that happened. With the Miami-LSU game, we both took Miami to beat LSU, so we both missed that game, and we I missed the Florida State game. I had Florida State winning 20-17, and Jason had Virginia Tech winning 20-17. So in college picks, I was not too impressive. I was 2-2, and Jason was 3-1. So overall, last week Jason was up on me by, you know, one game.
Now give me another week and we'll be even.
Give us another week and we'll be, you know, yeah, we'll be probably back to even again. Hey Jason, did you see where, you know, we were talking earlier about the Florida State game a little bit? Now that some of the headlines there is Willie Taggart came out and he was accusing Virginia Tech players of faking injuries to slow them down.
Oh my gosh, he has learned from Donald Trump. He learned from this.
You just got your legs strapped. You looked absolutely awful, in my opinion, and now you want to blame the opposing team who lit you up. Yeah.
If you're going to blame somebody, at least blame the referees.
Absolutely, absolutely. But that was the deal there, that he was blaming the Virginia Tech players for faking injuries.
Yeah, that's why they got beat.
That's why they got beat.
And if he believes that, they won't win.
No, they will not. That kept them from getting into the tempo, you know, the fast style of play that they wanted to play.
The only thing a faster style of play would have done for Florida State would have made them look worse.
Would have got you beat worse. That's exactly right. A couple other headlines. Brandon Kennedy, Jason, you won't – I kind of vaguely remember the name.
This is Ted.
Ted is his son. this is a kid that played at Alabama. He was a graduate transfer, went to Tennessee. He was starting center, blew out his ACL. This is 2 years in a row that he's done that. So that was just kind of a headline. The biggest jumps this past week, certainly in the AP poll, LSU moves up from, I think, 25, I'm guessing, up to number 11. In the polls, and Virginia Tech jumped up from Jason. Was it 19? Somewhere in that neighborhood, and they have jumped up to the 10th. They have jumped up to the 12th spot. You know, the top spot hasn't changed. Alabama's still, you know, number one.
You know, if they're smart, they'll work those rankings around each week so that their top 10 teams playing each other each week. Because those rankings mean nothing right now.
No, they mean absolutely nothing. But I know you're going to be, Jason, this is one of those stats that I know without any doubt you're very interested in, and you'll think about this even probably when you're eating supper.
It'll probably keep me awake tonight.
To keep you awake is the newest AP, the history of the AP poll. Alabama has now tied Ohio State for the most weeks that they are number one. Both of those have been ranked number one 105 weeks in the history of the AP poll. Oklahoma comes in third, I guess, with 101. Notre Dame, 98. USC, 91. Florida State, 72. And Nebraska rounds out the top half a dozen or so, and with 70 weeks as ranked number one of the history of the AP poll. So I knew you would want to know that.
We've been doing this show. How many years is this?
4 or 5.
And any time you say, hey, Jason, have you heard? I know it's something Alabama. It's never anything. Hey, Jason, have you heard that Auburn done so-and-so?
Well, I will when they – I will.
We beat Alabama last year.
I just can't find it.
And I didn't hear you say, hey, Jason, did you know Auburn beat Alabama?
I didn't have to tell you that.
No, you didn't.
Because I heard it before it was over. So those are just some of the some of the headlines there.
Hey, here's you a trivia question. Who is the only active coach in college football that has beat Nick Saban twice?
Beat an active coach?
Yep.
Well, I guess you want me to say Gus.
That's who I want you to say. Okay. And that's, you would be right if you said Gus.
I would be. Okay. Okay.
Saban has won 3. Gus has won 2.
Yeah.
So after this year, it should be tied up.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think I heard this stat. So it might have been from y'all, but and I mentioned it earlier today. Let me see if I can remember it correctly. Nick,
yes,
has won more national championships than has lost games at Brian Denny.
That's exactly right.
Was that your stat, Ronnie?
That was my stat. That was last week, yes.
Proof, Jay, you know it's not my stat.
Proof that I listened to
that's
your show.
Right. That's impressive. He has 5 national championships, and he has lost a total of 4 games at Bryant Denny Stadium since 2007. You know, I mean, you can roll these stats out all you want to, and you just all you can say is wow. Now, whether you like him, whether you don't like him, whether you love Alabama,
the only people that like Nick Saban are Alabama fans.
Well, yeah, you're probably right.
He is a very easy person not to like.
Yeah, and then on top of that, when you're, you know, when
and ESPN reporters, but actually that was probably good press for her, so it's all good.
Exactly. But, you know, they're going to be the villain regardless. I mean, we could take a prophet out of the we could take a prophet from the Bible, and they would hate him if he was.
Oh, now he is a prophet in the Bible. No, you're comparing him to a prophet in the Bible.
No, I'm just saying how much he is disliked. You could take someone. I'm really saying he's on the opposite end of the spectrum.
He has been wrong less than the prophets in the Bible.
In his own mind. No, I was not.
I give Saban for apologizing. Kills me, though, is these fans that even after he apologized, he had no reason to apologize.
Yeah, I agree.
And if that had been Tommy Tuberville back in his day, Alabama fans would have rode him down the road.
Yeah, and he would have deserved it.
Is that new or is that old?
What's new? I don't know.
The name.
That's Jeffrey.
I know. I can read. I was trying not to say it.
Yeah, I got you.
I guess that's old.
That's old.
Okay.
Yeah, that is old.
Right, take us on. Take us away, Calgon.
I lost my train of thought there. But
yeah, you compared him to the prophets.
Yeah, I was in that. But what I'm saying about that is the prophets, I mean, they're biblical people, you know, godly, holy, however you want to describe them. And I'm comparing that to Nick Saban on the opposite. I'm not saying he's a horrible person. I'm saying you got Nick Saban who this or that, and then it wouldn't matter if you put one of the prophets coaching Alabama, people would hate Alabama.
I came across some conversations on Facebook. I might have been stalking your feed, Jason Spiegel. I don't know. But they were talking about football games from, you know, 30 or 40 years ago and how Bear Bryant, like, wouldn't even talk to reporters, and he was, like, much more temperamental than Nick Saban. Now, I wasn't around for Bear. I think he was gone by the time I was, like, seven.
But he didn't treat reporters the way Nick Saban treats them.
Now, he chewed out some lady there one time.
But,
you know. But that was
here's the thing, though. It's a I don't feel a bit more sorry for her because she's a female reporter. Because she's a big girl and she knew stuff like that was going to happen when she took that job.
That's right. And I'm not defending
but
him.
But I say he shouldn't have done that to any reporter.
I agree. On the flip side, and I don't want to play the devil's advocate, but I am. I think that was about the third time that day or that night she had asked him that question.
Then name a starting quarterback.
I wouldn't name a starting quarterback before the first game. Not if I had a competition at all.
But the game was over at that point. Yeah. She just asked.
Yeah. I'm not defending because he would have been fine. Because I appreciated his statement when he said, I'm not going to lift one of them up, basically, and tear the other one down on national TV, which is that's kind of paraphrasing what he said. That was fine.
Really taken away from Tua because he should have been lifting him up.
But that part was fine, but the more he continued to talk, you could see the more agitated he got, and then he took to the point of, don't ask me, you know, or however he phrased it, don't ask me again. That stretched it over the line. It's just, it was just inappropriate, but he did the right thing.
Yeah, he did.
You know, he called, and I'm sure what happened is, as he refers to his wife as Miss Terry, I would probably be safe to say that she lit him up.
No, don't you think it'd be funny if really you've seen inside the Saban household
as it truly is,
and she cracked a whip on him?
God, that would be a great reality TV show.
At the door with a belt.
I might even tune into that.
Cut a hickory off of that holly bush out front.
Rex is ready for y'all.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, Rex. Hey, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Hold the phone.
Hold the phone. He's going to defend Saban.
Oh, no.
I get put on hold during the conversation of prophets,
yeah,
biblical, and Saban.
That's why we brought you in next, because we know you're somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, right in the middle of them.
Prophets, biblical, and Saban.
Those three don't even go together, do they?
Okay, now let me tell you what I'm talking about. Bunch of sugar britches want to be snowflakes and get mad all they want. He's Nick Saban.
That's it. He's
I'm
a jerk.
I'm an Auburn fan. He's the greatest coach ever lived. Yeah, he's a jerk most of the time. But he was not talking directly to her. He was talking about media in general. And I think she took it personally, and I think lots of people did. Thought he was talking directly to her. So, you know, that's all I got to say about that.
That's a good, and that's a valid point. It's a valid point.
But I think he did refer to her as you have you. I think he did.
But you could be you in the terms of.
But don't Nick Saban get paid enough money to deal with crap like that, though?
I don't argue the point. Hey Rex, what did you think about both the games, Alabama game? Let me start with the Auburn game, and then you go to the Alabama game because I know you're an Auburn fan.
Auburn's got some issues.
See if you
front seven.
Think the same.
Front seven.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I agree.
Front seven. I don't know if there's anybody in college football any better. I don't know if there's any, I think them and Washington are maybe the best two front sevens you'll see this year. Defensive backs got issues.
Number four got
running
issues.
The ball, issues.
I agree.
Quarterback decisions, issues. Other than that, they look good.
and Rex, that was something that we were talking about, with Auburn earlier is how good they are up front defensively, but boy, and I know it's just first game, but they're going to have to find a running game. I mean, to be successful, they're going to have to find one.
And you say that, but then I go back to what I said too. I don't know that there's another front seven better than Washington. I mean, they're really, really good front seven. Really good.
If I had to pick somebody to be the next best or the best would be Clemson. That'd be it.
True, and Alabama's right up there too. But what I'm saying is, did that running game look a little slow and a little short because that was a very, very good front set?
I guess we won't find out any of those answers this week. But next week's when you'll find out some answers as well Alabama.
Now third week's what? LSU?
Yeah, LSU. In Auburn.
Oh my God,
and
did you see LSU play the other night?
I did.
Oh my gosh.
I saw them.
I do believe Miami was way, way, way over town.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
But LSU looked really good. When you can look that good against and even an overtouted ball team, you got a pretty good team on your hands. And Coach O, I have it going down there.
He may very well. They absolutely dominated Miami on both sides. On both sides of the ball.
I just wish they'd mic him up for a whole entire ball game. That's my football dream. My football dream is to have a live mic on live air. On Coach O for 60 minutes.
The mic kind of overheard him a couple of times, but I think they got it off of him real quick. It was pretty bad, you know. So
and I want no beat button.
Yeah.
I want to hear everything he says for 60 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
I can't understand the 10 minutes of it. So
what's it? You're right. It always is with Go Tigers. I thought it was a pretty good week of some good ball games and
I hadn't been listening, so y'all tell me who was more surprised on the quarterback choice.
I don't think either one of us
did
were
you
surprised.
Think it'd be Tua?
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, you did.
I
not
did.
Yeah, we both did.
Really?
Yeah,
I thought it would be a bonehead move to take 26 and 2 off.
I remember you saying that, but after seeing the game, is there any doubt who the better quarterback is now?
I might have to disagree. I think
Rex, what are you smoking?
Rick's a former law enforcement officer.
You go back, and you watch the first quarter, the first three drives. He was the luckiest sack of footballs in the world those first three drives. He closed his eyes through it, and somebody told him.
It's amazing for the first three drives.
It's amazing how good players are always lucky.
Look at the first touchdown he threw in the end zone.
I agree with that.
Back and threw it up for grabs.
I agree with that.
Could have just as easily been a pick six.
I agree.
Rex, he's so good he can do it with his eyes closed.
You might be right. Hey, the kid's a talent. I'm not taking that away from him. But so far in the minutes I've seen him play, which is every minute he's played football in college football, he's had so much luck on his side, it's been unreal. But the talent's there. He's a backyard quarterback that's going to get paid millions of dollars to play backyard football.
Absolutely. You are absolutely right. Jason and I were talking about, I'm very interested to see when they go to Ole Miss to play in somebody else's hostile stadium, how good can you be there?
How good can you be there, and how good can you be someone with quality defensive backs?
I agree.
And I don't know that he's going to face that till possibly LSU.
He will with LSU. They're good in every position.
LSU, Georgia, and I'm just going to come up 11 weeks early and say he's going to pick Auburn's DBs apart. He'll throw for 400.
Yeah. If
he can stay off his back long enough.
I agree.
I want to see what he does against a team with some quality DBs who can actually cover and actually read offenses, because they didn't play one of them, I think.
Right. I agree. Hey, Rex, changing into another world that where you're another, I know you don't like to hear the word expert, but you're our local guy anyway. Hey, I got a couple questions I want you to answer for me, and then I know you got things you need to go do. Rex, about Smith, about, every fall that they have, I guess it's called the drawdown, or, Alabama Power draws the lake down. Explain that process and their thinking into that and why that happens.
Well, they really, truly don't actually draw it down. I mean, they pull water out of it.
Okay.
For Birmingham businesses, that's mainly cooling water. Now, some people do get drinking water out of there, okay?
Okay.
But the majority of that water goes to cooling the factories and stuff, cooling water. But, I mean, they don't have a set number that they draw it down to.
They do not. Okay, I didn't know.
I look back over the years, at this time of year, the lake's been down 15, 17, 18 feet.
Right.
Well, we're down about 7, maybe.
Right.
7 or 8 the most. So, and we've had a really good spring and summer for rain. So, it's not as low as it's been in years past.
Okay, okay. Like I say, I didn't know. That's why I was asked, because I've heard that term.
Now, see, this past winter, they drew it down really low. By law, there's some kind of agreement or contract where Alabama Power can only draw it down to, I think, 20 feet or 21 feet low. That's the danger level.
Right.
And they drew it down to about 19 just to fix the ramp and everything at Smith Lake Park, and don't get me started on that.
Oh.
But there's no really set number they draw it down to.
Okay. I didn't know, I didn't know if there was, I thought, well, are they doing this because spring comes, maybe we get tremendous amount of rains and you have issues with too much water, but
They can almost pull it out as quick as it comes in. I mean, if you remember years back, this time of year, the lake was down maybe 16, 17 feet, and we had like 3 days of torrential rains.
Right.
And it filled up overnight.
Right.
But they can handle a 10-foot rise pretty easy.
Right. Rex, you mentioned something about not getting you started on the new ramp at the park. I drove by there the other day. Again, I'm just as a spectator or someone who knows nothing about it. It looks quite nice as far as looking at it.
Beautiful, isn't it? It's
right.
A beautiful ramp. I'm so glad that the state come in and put their expert engineers on that ramp and drew all the pretty little parking lines, put all their pretty little concrete barriers up.
Yeah.
And one single solitary freaking exit for all 6 miles.
I did notice that. And we were down there, Rex, last weekend. When it, I guess it was Sweet Tater Festival. And then it was, you know, Labor Day weekend as well. I thought the same thing. I thought, God, all these people came in here and there's only one exit out.
Listen, there's everybody's griping and complaining about it, how it wasn't engineered right. It wasn't thought through. Listen, I've been down there. I've used it. There's nothing wrong with it. It just could have been much better than it is.
Right.
It's the perfect spot for a great boat ramp, and they made a really good boat ramp out of it.
Right. And is it not? Is it wide enough for five or six boats?
Here's why I explained to everybody. You can launch 6 bass boats at a time or 2 pontoons. Your choice.
You're right. You're exactly right. It all depends on the quality of people that's backing
it
down there.
I ain't talking to pontoon folks because I put my boat in the water 200 times a year. I can back one up, put one on a trailer.
Right.
Monday was the first time I've been back to Smith in a few weeks. There's only 3 boats in the parking lot, 3 trucks, 3 trailers. But as I'm taking out about 10:30 Monday morning, there's one pontoon on a ramp. 22 minutes. I sat there and waited. I didn't have to.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good show. 2 wife and daughters in the lake pushing on it.
Oh gosh.
Backing up, pulling forward, backing up. 22 minutes to get that thing on the trailer.
Oh.
Now, if that had been Memorial Day or Labor Day weekend,
oh gosh.
He'd have got his butt beat right there on the boat ramp.
somebody got his truck, done it for you.
Hey, I've done it. I've got in before and loaded boats because I get tired of waiting.
Right. Oh, man.
And I try not to be mean about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, people, get out of my way. I'll put this on trailer for you.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Rex, a couple of things before we let you go. I'm assuming you're still bowling.
Actually, you know, bowling's not started. It's not going to start till, you know, they're doing a lot of remodeling there at the bowling alley.
Oh, okay, that's right. I heard that.
Yeah, they had it shut down, did some remodeling. They're putting in cafeteria and bar and new pro shop and all that kind of stuff. So the bowling league itself, I think it's going to start October sometime.
Oh, okay,
so
okay.
I'm sitting out in the boat right now getting stuff ready for Pickwick in the morning. I got a guide trip on Pickwick. And I'm sitting here tying on topwater.
I got you. Well, that's what I was going to ask you about when I know you've been on the golf course a lot, but maybe now you're winding yourself or finding your other enjoyment, which is, you know, in a boat and doing some fishing. So that was going to be my question.
Shot a 74 today, by the way.
Shot a 74. Wow.
My golf game is strong.
I tell you what. 74, I'd love to see that on my scorecard, but that is few and far between.
I have to admit, I played a lot of golf this summer because I kind of slowed down guiding a little bit.
Sure.
So I decided to get on a golf course, and I shot my very first par round at Cecily Oaks second week of August, and I haven't been in the 80s since. I always stayed in the 73 to 77 range, so I'm enjoying some golf.
That'll make you enjoy it right there.
Well, like I tell everybody, if I could make any money playing golf, I'd give somebody all my fishing stuff.
Oh, wow.
That's how much I love it. That's my passion.
I think
it's like a good drug, and not that I know what it would be.
Yeah.
I'd be addicted to one, but I'm addicted to golf.
I hear you. I'm right there with you. I'd play every day of the week if I just had, you know, if I had time or, you know, to do
that. I know
that. So, hey, Rex, go ahead.
That's why I've been dreading getting this stuff ready for tomorrow, because it's going to cost me a golf game.
Exactly.
But I can't eat if I don't go fishing.
Yeah, that's right. You got to put a little, got to put a little green in the pocket and, you know, food on the table. But hey, with that thought, I know you're starting to do some fishing again, or you're starting to guide some. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, wants to hook up with you, and you take them fishing, tell me how they can do it.
Everybody can always find me on Facebook at Rex Chambers Fishing.
Okay.
Or on the World Wide Web at smithlakebass.com.
Gotcha.
Or come down to the Smith Lake Dam Saturday all day long. The Alabama Bass Trail will be there for their Alabama Bass Trail Open on Smith Lake.
Fantastic. I was going to ask you what, this weekend, got some tournaments coming up where some people can, get out there and fish or watch some of the.
It'll be a good show. They'll have Robbie Floyd there. Most folks know him from ESPN,
right?
And he does the Bassmaster Classics. Does a lot of motocross and auto racing. And he'll be there being the host. And it'll be a good weigh-in time. I think weigh-in's going to start at 2:00, 2 or 2:30 at Smith Lake Dam Saturday.
Fantastic. Hey Rex, thanks man for joining us. We sure do appreciate it. And I hope you load the boat tomorrow, and then the next time you're out there, if you shot 74 the other day, maybe you shoot 73 the next round.
Yeah, all right, and we'll go one day next week.
Sounds good, Rex. All right, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Rex.
I'll see you.
All right, there we have our old fishing buddy and golfer too, Mr. Rex Chambers. He's multi-talented, Jason.
Oh yeah.
So
a man of many different hats.
A man of many hats and a man of many talents. So really appreciate Rex joining us.
If I could ever find anything I'm good at, I'd get interested in it. But I think eating is about it.
I'll help you find something. All right, it is 5:48 as a public service announcement. We are going to be coming back and making our picks for this week's game. So, if you want to turn your hazard lights on, move over to the side,
or find a
parking lot, do so traffic can continue to flow. So we'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
This is Dylan Deamer, the voice of Friday Night Live, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday night for my new show, Prep Sports Live. Each Tuesday, tune in for a wrap-up of all last week's action, a preview of the upcoming week, as well as a breakdown of the latest sports news from around Coleman County, as well as interviews. And tune in to hear the announcement of our Game of the Week. Join us every Tuesday from 5 to 6 on Coleman's Live 95. We are Coleman's independent radio.
Gateway Mortgage is proud to support Coleman County High School football. After all, supporting your community and giving back is what it's all about. Gateway Mortgage is a big lender with the ability to service your loan, but they're all about community and personal service. Josh Phillips, branch manager, says because of their Christian values, you can expect a culture that's different from banks and even other lenders. Those are the kind of characteristics you want from a personal mortgage team working to get you into a new home or your next home. You can reach Josh Phillips, Cameron Kimbrough, or Zeb Smith at Gateway Mortgage, 256-690-5617, 256-690-5617. Gateway Mortgage, in MLS number 338177, Equal Housing Lender.
Odin's Auto Glass offers professional and reliable service. With over 30 years of experience, Odin's Auto Glass guarantees your satisfaction. From auto and truck glass to the glass in your big rig, Odin's Auto Glass has you covered. Odin's Auto Glass welcomes insurance claims and is an authorized Safe Life Auto Glass installer. Odin's Auto Glass is located on Highway 31 in Coleman, just north of Highway 157. 734-2800, it's Odin's Auto Glass.
All right. Scott back with you, 551, and as Ronnie has already announced.
For some reason, I'm visualizing a whole bunch of truckers on I-65, like, dancing around their trucks right now.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, they...
They probably got the troopers out directing traffic.
Oh, yeah. We need to get a sign that they can put in their vehicle.
Absolutely.
And just let everybody know why they're pulled over.
There's no danger.
There's no tornado coming.
There's no tornado. There's no convict on the loose. It's just... You know, it's just the picks of, you know, Jason and Ronnie.
It's time to make them some money.
That's exactly right. Hey, Jason, before we do our picks, a couple of things, and then I'm going to talk about Alabama football just for a second. Some of the key players, I think, that stood out, that are names that you may have never heard, because they're freshmen, part of them. The Waddle kid, he's a receiver. He also returned punts. He reminds me when I watch him run and his cuts and his movement of that of David Palmer. He is going to be, if he stays healthy, potentially an absolute star. I think he's a 5-star kid recruit out of the state of Florida, but he is a phenomenal athlete. In their secondary, the Thompson kid, I think he had a couple of picks. He's going to be a star. I believe he was a true freshman. And up front, the guy who stood out, who basically shut everything down in the middle, was Quentin Williams. So those three guys right there, to me, they're the ones who stood out in their individual performances. A couple other things. Alabama, talking about their defense, and people are, not real sure, necessarily how good they're going to be. They look pretty solid to me. There are a lot of names out there that none of us know, and I think that's why their question marks are there. But one stat that also still stands out with me is simply Alabama gave up a total of 16 yards rushing against Louisville.
Mm.
That is 16-1-6. Not 1-1-6.
Not 6-1.
No, just a simple 16 yards rushing. So... Seems to me like they seem to be pretty solid. So, again, that's just three names from last week's games that stood out to me, and the stat of 16 yards. Also, and I think I'd already mentioned this, Bama now jumps to the best percentage opportunity to make the playoffs. They are sitting at 65%. They just passed Clemson. Not that that makes
sense. They should move them to about 85% because Alabama can lose, not play in the SEC championship, and still get invited.
And win it.
Yeah. They have backed into more championships.
I agree with that. They have. They've been very, very,
living,
very fortunate.
Living right, I guess.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, saving. I mean.
There you go. What can I say? All right, Jason, it's that time, big boy.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go.
Here we go. Good Hope versus Cordova.
Good Hope against Cordova. I'm taking Good Hope to beat Cordova, and my score there is 21-10.
21-10. I'm also taking – I've done this the wrong way, but I know what
You'll
I'm
know.
Doing. I'm also taking Good Hope, and I am going 23-13.
All right.
Hansville versus J.B. Pennington.
I hate to, but I'm going to go J.B. Pennington. I think they win a close one, 21-20.
All right, and I was going to do that till you done that, so I'm going to go Hansville. And I'm going to go 18-10.
All right. You pick first this time, then. We'll mix it up.
Holly Pond versus Midfield. I don't know anything about Midfield, but I'm going to say Midfield. I'm going to say 36-7.
Okay. I'm going to go with Midfield as well, even though Holly Pond's, started off with some wins and won a lot of football games last year. And we'll win a lot of football games this year. But I'm going to take Midfield, but I think it's going to be close. I'm thinking, or closer, 28-20.
All right. Vimont versus Westbrook Christian.
Okay. Well, I picked against Vimont last week. I just can't do it this week, so I'm going to take Vimont to win that one, 14-13.
All right. I picked Vimont last week and was wrong. I'm going to pick them this week and be right, and it's going to be a rout.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 26-13.
They go get on him Christian.
The
huh?
six. Okay. That's right, the apostles. West Point versus Hamilton.
That's our game of the week, by the way.
Okay. Game of the week.
Game of the week.
Since it is the game of the week.
That's right.
I'm going to go with Hamilton.
You're going with Hamilton. Okay. Is that at Hamilton? Or is that, that's at West Point,
I think. That's at West Point, I think.
Okay.
16-13.
Okay. That's an upsetter there. I'm going with the Warriors. Warriors over Hamilton, 35-17.
But see, that's giving me a warm and fuzzy because at least Jason's thinking it's going to be close.
So. So there you go.
Jason don't know anything about either one of them.
Well, they barely pulled it out. West Point did last week with like 3 seconds left. Just the way that Coleman performed in week zero or one, depending on who you're talking to.
Well, now, West Point was down at halftime. They were down 26-6 and came back and won 27-26 against A-Rap.
They won by the skin of the football.
That's exactly right.
And I don't pick the game of the week, but I generally listen to the discussions. And we don't want the games are going to be blowouts. We want them to be close.
Exactly.
And so feeling kind of good about, although this is the second time we're going to be covering West Point this year. We haven't made it around to, we've covered West Point. We've covered Coleman.
Yeah.
And so far, last week, if I remember correctly, we had four county teams that were still undefeated. So.
Right. And that was a close game. You called the Coleman game last week, 18-16. I mean, it's an entertaining game.
We're on time and a half.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Cold Springs versus Southeastern.
I'm taking Cold Springs. 55-0.
55-0.
How about that?
I'm going to go Cold Springs also, but I'm going to keep it a little calmer than that. I'm going to say 32
okay.
to 12.
Okay.
All right, Cohen at Decatur.
I'm taking Decatur. 27-10.
I'm going Decatur also, and I'm going to say 23-20.
Okay.
Fairview versus DAR.
Fairview. I'm taking the Aggies, Coach Redding. I think they win that 33-13.
All right. I'm going Fairview also 26-23.
Okay.
Real fast, Arizona versus Houston.
You want the winner or you want to score?
Just give me a winner in the college game.
Okay. Arizona, Houston, I'm going with the
players. Houston's -3.5 at Houston.
At Houston, I'm going with Houston.
And I'm doing the same. Mississippi State at Kansas State. Kansas State's -8.
I'm taking Mississippi State.
I think I got that wrong. I think it's Mississippi State -8. But anyway, Duke at Northwestern. I'm agreeing with you there, too.
Okay.
Duke at Northwestern. Northwestern is -3.
I'm taking Northwestern.
Okay, since you're going to do that, I'm going to go with Duke. Just for the heck of it.
Okay, well, you can pick first.
Georgia at South Carolina. South Carolina is +10, but the point spread in this one don't matter, I'm going with Georgia.
I'm with you, Georgia.
Clemson at Texas A&M.
Clemson.
Same here. USC at Stanford. Stanford's -6.
I want to say USC, but I'm going to say USC.
All right, and I'm going Stanford.
All right.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. Hope you got that down.
6 o'clock right on the nose.
And we'll be back next Thursday with winners and losers. Until then, a super big War Eagle playing Alabama State.
Oh, yeah, and a big Roll Tide against Arkansas State.
Thanks, folks. See you next week.